Okay, everyone is settling in. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Welcome to everyone, those from near and far, and any visitors who may be here, welcome too. Hi to those next door and those at home. God has truly made the Sabbath. He's made it for us to enjoy, and He's made it as a time for us to learn many things. Weren't the opening songs inspiring? Did it serve to focus your mind on our great God and His deep love for us? The amazing creation that He made for us to enjoy and have dominion over and to learn from? The heavens truly declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiworks. And we are truly fascinated by all His creatures, great and small. Now, though we're often amazed by the wonders of creation, we do not often take the time to reflect on the humble lessons that we can learn. But we are commanded to do just that. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus uses the common theme of nature to remind us to seek His kingdom and its righteousness, and not to worry unnecessarily about or earthly needs. So today, let's look at one such example in a way that maybe we have never looked at it before, and so appreciate more God's plan for us and how it is set up to guarantee our success. We sang about this in the opening song, but if you turn with me, please, to Matthew 6, we'll read verses 28 and 29. Matthew 6. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. Emphasis on consider, emphasis on how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Emphasis on that too. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Not arrayed like one of these in all his glory. So let's keep those four things in mind. Consider the lilies of the field. The Greek word for consider means to look carefully at, or to closely examine. Look carefully at or closely examine. Today, as commanded, let's take some time and look carefully at and closely examine the lily, and by extrapolation, the trees as well, and I'll explain why in a little bit. The Greek word for lilies means wild flowers. But in our day-to-day activities, we may not always see lilies or wild flowers. But it's hard to escape seeing the trees and the other vegetation around us. There's the grass, there's the lawn, there's the trees, they're all around. And the lesson for today can be learned from all of them. So if we are too busy to look carefully for the lilies, as we are commanded to, as you will find out today, the lesson can be learned from the trees, and maybe even more so. So today we're going to consider, look carefully, closely examine the lilies, the trees. We're going to look carefully, closely examine how they grow. We're going to consider carefully and closely examine the fact that they toil not, neither do they spin, and last but not least, we will consider and carefully examine how Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now we look at these in the light of the theme of the discourse on the Sermon on the Mount, and Christ summed it all up in Matthew 6:33 by saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Emphasis here for our discussion on its righteousness. So with that as a background, let us add in our consideration an unusual lily. Turn with me, please, to Solomon 2, Song of Solomon 2, verse 1. And even though Solomon wrote this, this is Jesus speaking here, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. So when we are told to consider the lily, how they grow, we consider the lily as we know it in terms of a plant, but also we need to consider the lily, Jesus Christ, our Savior himself, because he said, I am the lily of the valley. So as we consider, we'll consider carefully and examine closely Christ, the lily of the valley. Again, we'll consider closely, examine carefully how he grew, and he is our perfect example of how to grow. We will consider carefully and examine closely how he neither toiled nor spin. He said, I of myself can do nothing. And we need to consider carefully and examine closely how he was arrayed and how gloriously he'll be arrayed in the future. Now, if you look here at the paper, what do you see? And I'm looking for an answer. It's okay, you can all speak at once. Or the paper, what's happening there? It's stained. Would you say something is happening, the stain? What's happening? What's happening with the paper? I heard someone say it. It's absorbing the water. That's the common vernacular that we use. It's absorbing the water. But is it? We will find out. Now, are you caught up in your hurried life? So it's hard to consider, take time, and learn from the lily of the field? Well, now, today, since I have a captive audience, we will take the time and we will consider. And maybe we will learn a lesson that will make it easy to, from day to day, as we look out, we may not see an actual lily, but like I said, we can extrapolate the lesson into vegetation, the trees. And so every day, we can consider the lily. Now that we have established that foundation, the foundation of the lily of the field, Christ, the lily of the valley, let us consider here how they grow. It's truly fascinating. Now let me ask, are there any botany enthusiasts in the audience? Botany enthusiasts? They're probably all next door. Now, when I was in high school, I had many favorite subjects, but botany was one of them. And my aunt had sent me a microscope. And in botany, botany is the study, the scientific study of plants. And we learned to not so much dissect, but slice very thin slices of the plant, the roots, the stem, the leaves, the flowers, and examine them under the microscope. And it's very fast, because each plant, it's different. It's all just like how on the outside they're all different. On the inside, once you see them under a microscope, they're all different, and they're all very fascinating. And one of the favorite things that I did with my kids, my sons, when we were growing up, a Sabbath afternoon activity, as we drove home from church, we'd look for an unusual plant, unusual meaning one that we hadn't looked at before, and we'd pick it or take a stem off it, or if it was small enough, take it out so we can examine the roots and take it home. And after lunch and a nap, we would examine the lily, examine that plant. Now, we don't have time to do that today. I don't have my microscope. But let's look at a section of the plant that we normally don't think about and see how we can learn by considering the lily, considering the plant, how they grow, and how, even though they toil not nor spin, they are arrayed in a way that Jesus said Solomon in all his beauty could not be. So the first word I want you to think of, write down in your notes, is capillary action. Capillary action or capillarity. Capillarity is the tendency of liquids to rise in a tube. And capillarity is due to adhesion, keep that word in mind, adhesion of the liquid to the sides of the tube and to the surface tension. Okay, so those are words you want to keep in mind. A liquid that wets the capillary tube will rise. And if the liquid does not wet the capillary tube, it'll sink. And some of you may have something like mercury in your chemistry class or otherwise. You put a tube in the mercury and its level would sink. Because it doesn't wet the tube, and so it sinks. All lessons that we will see that we can draw from. Capillary action can be seen. Capillary action, okay? So we have a tendency to say the paper is absorbing the water, but the paper isn't doing any work. The paper is just sitting there. It's the capillary action of the water because the fibers of the paper are aligned in such a way that the capillary action of the water rises and stains the paper. So we say the paper is absorbing the water, and in there we may be missing or losing the lesson, because the real lesson is the fact that the water, with its innate strength and the power that God has given it, will rise. In fact, the tallest tree, and this statistic may be old, but it's what I could find quickly, is about 394 feet. And the tree just stands there, it doesn't do anything, but the water will rise through capillary action to the tallest, to the top of the tree, and on out to the leaves of the tree. It's all in the power of the water. The tree does not absorb. So let's look at a few more words. Cohesion, which is a capacity that water has, where it attracts itself. Now, if water falls on a certain surface, it'll bead, right? And on a different surface, it'll spread. And we take advantage of that when we spray our windshields. Yeah, we spray our windshield with a certain chemical fluid, and then when the rain falls, it just beads and falls right off. Well, the action is not due to the chemical, but it's due to the cohesive strength of the water. It can adhere, it can cohese. And so because it coheses, it sticks together, forms a bead, and bounces off. Adhesion is where the water is attracted to a different substance, and we'll see how all those come into play in a moment here. As mentioned earlier, several factors are involved in capillarity. The first is cohesion, as I just defined. The tendency of molecules of a substance to stick together. Water is a cohesive element with a level of cohesion that creates a high degree of surface tension, and we mentioned that earlier, because it is this cohesive property that holds it together And it's adhesive property that makes it stick to, let's say, the fibers of the plant that forms a meniscus, that little curve you see at the top of it, and that makes it slowly rise. With this concept and property of cohesion in mind, let us think of God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and forms a cohesive whole. Though written here a little, there a little, here a little, there a little, until we bring it all together into a cohesive whole, we really and truly can't understand it. And we really and truly can't then benefit from it, because if we don't understand it, we won't apply it in our lives, and so we won't grow. Consider the lilies, how they grow. The second factor in a plant is adhesion, the tendency to stick to unlike substances. In the example of the tree, as I mentioned, the water in the ground, the liquid is drawn to the cellulose fibers of the tree trunk, which form small capillaries known as xylem. And when you slice the plant and you stain it with iodine or saffronin we used to, you could see the outline of the xylem. And you know that's where the water rises in the plant. As fluid adheres, like I said, it creates a meniscus, that small curve, along the edges of the xylem. And it's the surface tension of the water that causes the water to climb up the meniscus. Please note that the lily or the tree do not absorb the water. The paper does not absorb the water. It's the water that rises. This is due to its cohesive and adhesive properties. But the fibers of the tree have to be aligned in a certain way so that capillarity can work. So when we consider the lilies of the field, obviously God made them with fibers to take advantage of the laws of capillarity so they don't have to toil or spin. They, by sitting there, through God's laws and the laws that he has put in the water rises and takes the nutrients and the food and everything the plant needs, and it lives, it grows, and is beautiful. So those conditions are built by God's design into every lily, every tree, and every plant. So without any effort on their part, God provides for them. Consider the lily. As we consider the lily, so we understand how, even though they do not toil nor spin, they grow, and God shows us how God takes care of them. Now, one more aspect of the lily let's consider before we move on, and that's the aspect of transpiration. Now, underneath every leaf, and you can see that when you slice a leaf, you see the little openings where transpiration takes place. The fluid goes up, it transpires through the leaves, and it's that constant flow goes as moisture into the air that keeps the fluid moving up the tree. And so it is a constant supply of water, it's a constant supply of nutrients, and it all functions and works apparently automatically. But it's not automatic. It's there for a reason. God wants to teach us a lesson, and he tells us, consider, carefully examine, carefully look at the lilies of the field. Now, transpiration is evaporation of the water into the atmosphere. And they say 10% of evaporation on Earth occurs through the leaves of plants. So 10% of what goes up and comes down eventually as rain goes through the leaves of the plants. So there is a dynamic process in place through which God provides for us through the rain, but he provides for the lily and the trees as well. Now, as our perfect example, let us consider the one who called himself the lily of the valley, Jesus. And let us consider how he grew. Because if he is our perfect example, and we understand now how the lily, actually the plant, grows, we understand how he grows, he's our example, then that will help us to understand how we grow, how we need to grow. We're told in Luke 2:52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus grew, and he grew the right way. He grew in favor with God, and he grew in favor with man. So the first word I want us to look at is the word belief. Belief. Just like the plant fibers are aligned so that capillarity can take place, Jesus was aligned with God's will. His whole interest and purpose, he said, was to do the will of his Father. Belief. Next word I want us to think of in considering the lily, Jesus Christ, the lily of the valley, is the word obedience. Obedience. And we were told that Jesus was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So his obedience was such that even if it took his life, he was willing to obey as our example. The next word I want us to consider is faith. And we could compare that to adhesion. Adhesion. Because without that law of adhesion and that principle of adhesion, the water will not rise. Without faith, we can do nothing. And we have to learn and live by the faith of the Son of God. So obviously the Son of God had faith. And through the experiences of his life, the way he interacted, the way he talked to God, he demonstrated absolute faith. Adhesion. And the next word I want us to consider is prayer. Transpiration. Water rises, goes through the leaves, the vapor goes up to God. And in Scripture we are told that our prayers are like a vapor to God. So through it all, Jesus said, "Of myself I can do nothing." So like the lily, he toiled not, he didn't spin. Everything he did was through the power of God working in him, but he was aligned to that power. Of himself, he could do nothing. So as we consider the lilies, both of the field and the true lily, the lily of the valley, as we consider how they grow, here are some lessons we can learn. Capillarity. We need to align our hearts, minds, and will with God's. This aligning comes about through belief. Our human example is Abraham, and we are told in Galatians 3:6, Abraham believed God. It all starts with unconditional belief in God. Belief leads to obedience. So we send those roots deep into the source of water, the study of God's word. It is our belief and obedience that sets up the condition for capillarity, God's capillarity, to work in our lives. And we can be like it says, and let's turn there, Psalm 1, we'll read verses 2 and 3. Psalms 1, verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. A tree planted by the rivers of waters. So there's always a source of water. And with the action of capillarity, there's always that supply of water, God's word. There's always that supply of food, God's spirit. And there's always, we keep it moving as we continue in prayer. We keep the cycle going. Adhesion, faith, provides the condition. Adhesion. Faith provides the condition for adhesion to take place so that through the innate power of the water, the innate power of God's word, it can climb to the top of the tallest tree, and the innate power of God's word and God's spirit, compared to the water, can rise in us. And we can hide his word in our heart and not sin against him, and we can be filled with his spirit and bring forth the fruit of his spirit and be clothed, as it were, in his spirit. Transpiration represents our prayers rising through the atmosphere to God, and we are told to pray without ceasing. So just as the lily needs continual transpiration to maintain a constant flow of water and nutrients, so in praying without ceasing and keeping our minds in a constant frame of meditation on God, his will, gratitude for his creation, the lilies of the field, we can keep that constant flow of his spirit in our hearts and minds to nurture, sustain us, and help us grow in the nurture and admonition of Christ, as we are told in Ephesians 6:4. Also note that the lily does not toil, nor does it spin. Yet God has made it and aligned it in such a way that through capillarity, his law of capillarity, he provides for it. Through belief, obedience, faith, and prayer, Jesus aligned himself so that God could work through him, and he became our perfect example. Of ourselves, we too can do nothing, but through belief, obedience, faith, and prayer, we become aligned so that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, and we are told that in Philippians 4:13. And God can do all things through us as he clothes us in his righteousness, and eventually we inherit all things. Now this brings us to the last lesson we can learn today as we consider the lily. For Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now over the years, through my many travels, I've been able to consider the lilies of the field as I took my kids, my family, to botanical gardens all over the world. The Caribbean, South Africa, New Zealand, China, United States, and so on. And I made it a point to take the kids to the zoo and the botanical gardens and the planetariums, because that is always exciting things to do. So when one sees the variety, the hues, the colors unique to each part of the world, you have to admit that even Solomon, in all his riches, could not be arrayed like one of these. So now, in this context, let us consider our lily of the valley, Jesus Christ. When he was on earth, his garments were of such quality that we are told the soldiers cast lots to determine who would get them. Now, if it were my suit, they'd put it in a bag and burn it, or take it to Goodwill. But more importantly, it's the garment of Christ's righteousness. Righteousness. Now, what do we have to do with righteousness? Everything. Everything. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Seek first its righteousness. Now, if we consider the lily, will that get our mind focused on seeking his righteousness? So there you have it. The whole purpose of God in making the lily and aligning it to grow, as we found out today, And clothing it with such beauty and then asking us to consider it is to help us seek first his righteousness. And just as he provides for the lily, he promises that all things will be added unto us. His word, his commandments are righteousness. We read that in Psalms 119:172. So let's turn to Philippians 1 and read verse 11. Philippians 1. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So God wants us, expects us, to be filled with the fruit of his righteousness. Let's turn to Isaiah 61 and let's read verse 10. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garment of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. So God's concern for us is that we be covered with righteousness, his righteousness. As we consider the lily, it is a constant reminder of this important fact. Now that we understand how God's immutable laws sustain the universe and even the lily, now that we understand that the lily is made so that those immutable laws work effortlessly, now that we understand that God's immutable laws are there to sustain us, and if we don't follow God's immutable laws, we may end up like that flower. Now that we understand that those laws work effortlessly in us as we yield to his will, for it is God who works in you and me both to will and to do his good pleasure. But we have to yield our body and our soul. We have to present our bodies a living sacrifice. If God's Spirit dwells in you, he who begun a good work in you will finish it. But it has to be belief, obedience, faith, and prayer. That's how we align to his will. Now that we understand that when we consider the lily, we gain a greater insight on how to seek first his righteousness and become clothed in that righteousness, much greater than Solomon ever could, let us consider the lily.